Joel 2. It says, blow the trumpet in Zion. Consecrate a fast. Call a sacred assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children and nursing babes. Let the bridegroom go out from his chamber and the bride from her dressing room. 17 says, let the priests who minister to the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not give your heritage to reproach, that the nation should rule over them. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Where is their God? I want to teach. I want to teach. It won't be on the screen. I want to teach from the thought of God. Why haven't you given me an answer? I'm waiting on an answer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your time. Thank you for this space. Thank you that we're able to experience, touch, tangible your spirit. Do a greater work today. Speak through me, none of me and all of you. Bless the entire congregation so that we can be better stewards over what you've given us to do. Have your way, Holy Ghost, in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may take your seats. Today, real quick, I want us to go back to the 31 days of fasting. This is a series entitled 31. Entitled 31. And the reason I believe that God had me title it this way as 31 is because I want 31 to stick with you for 31 days. I want 31 to stick with you for 31 days. This is not going to be your type of message where, you know, we're flipping over the chairs and we run around the church and, you know, some of y'all in the corner and up in the rafters, right? It's not going to be this type of preaching and teaching. This is going to be a teaching that's going to change your life. And even when you leave the church, it's going to help you live a better life, be a better single, be a better spouse, be a better steward over your money. It's going to help us all. And so today I want us to really get the concept and the understanding of what it means to fast. Prayer with fasting. And prayer is one thing, but to combine it with fasting will allow us to become unstoppable, not just as an individual, but as a ministry. And one thing that we all know and we all can testify, we've all discovered that churches today, many of them don't even talk about prayer, yet alone fasting. Right? You don't hear a lot about prayer today, and you know you don't hear a lot about fasting because some churches believe that it's just old-fashioned and Old Testament. But I have news for you today that not only the church of old in the Old Testament was fasting, but also Jesus commanded that we fast. In fact, every event, every story, every book that we read has some type of fasting in it. And it's amazing because fasting is something that I've never really truly understood. You know, I come up and I was raised, right, with the church and, you know, you're fasting, right? You just stop eating and boom. That's all I know. Now, I may have been taught a little more, but I wasn't listening to the rest of it because when they said stop eating, you done lost me. Turn down a what? A plate? Nah, I don't know about that. Maybe I cut out some of those starches, but I've got to eat. And the main thing we say and we talk about is we got to have some meat. Amen? Okay, some of y'all turned vegetarian on me. Or pescatarian, all those names, right? But watch this. Just because Just because you're a vegetarian, to my vegetarian people, does not mean that you're healthy. Because a vegetarian can still drink alcohol, watch this, and eat french fries. Hey, right? So don't do that. Now, I'm healthier than you are. No, sir. Just because you weigh a 105 and we over here 250, 260, 300, 400 does not mean that you're just so healthy. I'm going to talk about fasting today, right? Fasting is not only a requirement for the body of Christ, but it is a commandment of Jesus Christ. And even Jesus himself found it necessary to fast. I mean, the Son of God found it necessary to fast. God walking earth in the flesh found it necessary to fast. I mean, God, the Son of God in the flesh with power and authority found it necessary to fast. What in the world? Why would Jesus be fasting? I mean, why would Jesus need the fast? Why would Jesus need to pray? We say all these things because Jesus came to earth in the flesh. And one of the main reasons, I know we have access to him, but also one of the main reasons I like Jesus because he comes and he shows us how to do it, and he just doesn't come with lip service. So everything that Jesus has been and is telling us to do, he's done it, he's been through it, and he knows. Amen? Now y'all gonna say amen today because we're gonna be in the book. Amen. And so now we're at this place, and I want to give us some biblical foundation principles concerning fasting, because fasting, watch this, again, is not something that the church does according to religion. Fasting is a scriptural principle, a basis, right? A mandate, if you will. Watch this. Fasting is for personal and corporate reasoning, right? It's for personal and corporate. Say it with me, personal and corporate. Why, Pastor? Why personal and corporate? Because I always teach you and show you that you can't go corporate until you've gone personal. You can't be a good spouse until you've learned how to live as a single, right? So fasting is for personal reasons and for corporate reasons. Why personal reasons? Because I don't need to wait to show up and hook up with power. I need to already be operating in power. I need to already have the sensitivity of the kingdom so that I can discover, watch this, and see and hear and feel things that are not like God. And I'm about to get in there. Fasting. I wonder why that we live in a time now where we have so many people, so many churches, so many different people saying, God doesn't hear my prayer. So many walking away from their faith. So many walking out of the church, never coming back. So many closing up the Bible, never reading again. The reason why, because we're saying, God doesn't hear my prayers. God, I've been praying. I pray all the time. I pray when I wake up. I pray when I lay down. I pray on my job. I pray on my break. Right? I'm praying without ceasing. I'm in my car praying. I'm in my bed praying. I'm all these places praying. God, why aren't you talking to me? Well, fellas, just because you got a good job and you make good money, when you come home, married men, does it make your spouse just show up and give you what you want because you make good money? Absolutely not. You got to give in order to receive. And what God is saying is, look, I'm God. I can give it to you. I created you, right? I created an aura, an atmosphere. However, I need for you to give me something. And that's all I'm asking. I'm asking for you to give me some time. There is no relationship that can last without time. God says, look, give me some time. I need some time in your busy life. I'm not too busy for you. You're too busy for me. give me some time, Shannon. Give me some time. Lay on your face. Turn the plate down. Give me some time. Turn off the TV. Turn off the radio. Turn off all those folks, all those phone calls you're getting. Let me talk about myself. Turn off the email, right? Turn off the phone. Turn off all this stuff. Give me some time. I need some time, right? If you want me to speak and operate in your life, you're going to give me some time. Because if I operate in speaking to your life, you won't understand what I'm saying because you haven't given me time. Because when you give me time, you allow me to train your mind, body, and soul. And then we can operate in the spirit. You have to give me time. It's a process. Somebody say process. Fasting gives God time. There's a few scriptures, and I'm gonna get out your way, but Jeremiah 36 and 9 says, and it came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month, that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord to all the people in Jerusalem and to all the people that came from the cities of Judah unto Jerusalem, right? That's fasting going on all over the Bible. And what's so amazing is we have leaders in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, that is led by God to proclaim a fast, not just in the family, but in the church, in the whole nation. I keep saying church, in the people, right? The whole nation. It's amazing. Can you imagine if the government said today, if the president came out and the government came out and said, look here, the whole nation, we're going to go on a one-day fast. Whoo! What would happen? You know what would happen? Some of these companies would fold. Ooh, some of them would shut down because, listen, one day wouldn't be good enough because it'd be so good and God would change your life that you'll be fasting on day two. And day two and one was so great that you'll be in day three. And next thing you know, that you no longer go to the restaurant anymore. You no longer go and purchase the alcohol that you were buying. You no longer do all the things you were doing. And next thing you know, you're 5 and 6. And now you don't want to break your fast because a relationship that you've developed with Christ is so keen in your life that you don't want to break anything. So now you know what you do? You learn how to save money. Stop eating so much. Right? Stop feeding yourself garbage. Watch this. You think all I'm talking about is food. I'm going to show you in a minute that it's not just about food. Because people go on a fast and not get rid of all the other junk in their life. Guess what? All you did was go on a diet. All you did was go on a diet. If you're removing, turning down the plate, not praying, not seeking his face, not turning off the TV, not turning off all those things, all you're doing is going on a diet. And a diet is not a fast. Oh, man, I'm going to go ahead and get there. That's it. Let me give you this, and it may not be on the screen. Isaiah 53 and 8. You can mark it down. 53 and 8. Watch this. He says, why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? God is saying, you said you fasted, and I didn't hear your voice. Why have we afflicted our souls, and you take no notice? The people are saying, we've been fasting, but you haven't heard us. You don't hear us in our fast. So you can be on a fast, watch this, and God still not hear you. People say, we're fasting, you don't even hear us. We're so-called in order, and you don't even hear us. Listen to it. You see, going without food, watch this, does not attract God's attention in your life. Turning down the plate does not attract or get God's attention in your life. But turning down the plate, I'm fasting and praying and seeking the face of God, allows God to show up. See, I was always here, so you had to give me access because now you're fasting, right? That's a personal thing, right? You're getting yourself together. See, when you fast, it's getting rid of all the poisonous in your body. And we as a body of Christ, as a people, we operate to the place, and this is why we're not free, because we operate with so much poisonous in our lives that we can't get free. We can't be set free. We have a moment, just an inkling, just a twinkling, of freedom, and the moment we step into the lobby, we sit back. You know why? Because I seen so-and-so, and I smell this, and I see that, and we're fascinated by the things that we see. because we live in a society that has been, is governed, right, by sales and everything that we see. Watch this. It attaches and it's enticing to the flesh. It appeases the flesh. Everything we see, even in the church today, we build church buildings, right, that's appeasing to our flesh. We want to go in nice-looking buildings, great-looking buildings with great carpet, nice chairs, big, great screens, right? We can see everything, but that doesn't mean that God is in the place. You got to turn down that plate. Look, you can turn down your plate and live in a shack and allow the move of God to take place in your life. You know why? Because you allow the Spirit to come in and take total control. You become, watch this, men, you become submissive to the Spirit. Been telling you why? Be submissive. No, God's saying, be submissive to me. Obey me. Obey my commandments. Allow me to do this thing in you. Ooh, I'm going to get there. Watch this. It goes on to say, in fact, in the day of our fast, you find, watch this, pleasure in the next verse. In other words, if you keep the same attitude, the same schedule, and the same habits, God says you're not fasting. Watch this. You're just what? On a diet. If you don't change your schedule, if you don't change your habits, keep doing what you've always been doing, turn on a plate, don't fast. That's not a fast. You're trying to lose weight. Fasting has nothing to do with losing weight. It's just a benefit you lose weight. I mean, come on. You don't fast to lose weight, right? That's something else you would talk. You don't fast to lose weight. You fast to gain weight. Come on, I'm going to jump off this thing. Woo! Well, that right there, I shot that one out quick to you because it came to me quick. Yes, sir. Woo, I gotta use, Holy Ghost, I got to use that one. I got to use that one. Boy, that was good. You write it down, Bobby? But we gaining weight in the Spirit. Come on. So your attitude, your schedule, and your habits, you got to change them while you're fasting. Fasting means you change everything, what? Not for you. You don't fast for your neighbor. You don't fast for your wife. You change and you fast for him. For him, listen, for him, I like it. Good teaching, Pastor. God knows that if you're serious or not by how much you remove out of your life. Just because you miss lunch, God said, look, you miss lunch, but you're waiting on dinner. You're not fasting for me. You're trying to get on self-gratification. You're trying to get a few pounds down. And any trainer will tell you, if you miss a meal and you try to make up for it in your next set of meals, guess what? You're going to overwork your arteries and organs, and you're going to overeat, and guess what? It's worse. You should be eating anyway. Fasting and dieting is not the same. Watch this. Changing everything for him. I told you the schedule. I said, I ain't tell you this yet. Your friends. Somebody say friends. Friends. Music. Can't get no help in the middle. Music. See, y'all sleepy. Music. You know when you leave church, man, you go in there and put that other station on, Sirius, Cyrus, whatever, radio. You put it on and you start jamming. I know you do. Let me talk about what you talking about. Church over. Let's get it. Okay, church, let's get it. We had church this morning. Church over with. It's 3 o'clock. What you mean? Okay, come on. We gonna party. Okay. What's this? Music. Ooh, here we go. Movies. I'm a movie fanatic. I will watch anything, but you know what I won't watch? I won't go and watch. I won't take my kids to go watch all this death stuff. I'm so sick of, look, it's at the top of the charts. Everyone that come out, daddy, my son just, daddy, let's go see it. I said, boy, what is inside of you that makes you want to go see a movie about death? I would call your child's name out, but you might get offended, so I use my own. Your kid's right there. Let's show me that. Pastor, take me to the movie. Let's go in the church, man. Let's get in the bus. Let's go see a movie. What movie are we going to see? Because, you know, I like the movies. I take the kids to the movies. We go eat popcorn, right? We do it all. Listen, I don't play. I take all 20, 25, 30. Let's go. Will we not? Let's go. But what we will not do is go see a killer. Your 3-year-old walking out talking about, I ain't a killer, but don't push me. See? Y'all, yes. Some of y'all. Okay, that was back in my day. Don't crucify me. Don't crucify me. Oh, Pastor, that ain't right. Listen. God knows if you're serious or not. Why? Because he wants to know what you are doing in that time where you used to be doing that other stuff. Talk to the church. That time you spending in the club still dancing, right? You turn the club down like a plate down. Now what you doing in that time? Because if you were in the club, I ain't going to the club no more, God. And now you in the mall doing the same thing. It ain't no difference. All you did was geographically change locations, right? Because you still have a club mentality wherever you go. I'm still bobbing. I'm still dancing. Listen, I'm going to bless you. I know y'all say, wait, we used to do it in the club. Listen, don't you bring the club mentality in the church. What we say all that? You used to dance for the devil, now dance for Jesus. Well, if you're going to dance for Jesus, guess what? Your dance changes. Your moves change. Ain't no more bumping and talk to me. Can you imagine we up here in the assembly doing some bumping? What? Y'all better you lose that language. Yes, sir. It's real. You know why you still do it? Because you're still listening to it. Guess what? If everybody say amen, won't nobody know I'm talking about you. So fasting also includes how, watch this, how you act during the fast. It's no way for you to be a snob before the fast and be a snob after the fast. I mean, it's just no way. It's no way that you can be in this presence and still operating on that same level you were operating. Something got to decrease if he's going to increase. Problem is, we're trying to keep a balance. Trying to keep a balance of who? We're trying to keep a balance with the life outside, with the community, right? We're trying to keep a balance with the world. You can't balance with the world while you're living in the kingdom. It just doesn't happen. God says, look, you're either going to be hot or cold. What you going to do? Right? I'm coming. I know I ain't even got started yet, but we're about to close. Here we go. Fasting, you can write this down. Fasting is not just putting away food, but fasting is also putting away the things you love. Yeah, hold it right there. Hold it. That's good. Fasting isn't just putting away food. Whoever told you that was a lie. Fasting is not just putting away food. That's a small part of it. Fasting is putting away the things you love. That's why we never get out of our rut, because we fast from food. That's great. You need to fast from food, because some of us, right? The Bible says that for some of us, the belly has become like the God, our God, lowercase G-O-D, our God, right? We're governed by our bellies. Our bellies tell us what to do, when to get up, when to eat, when to lay down, when to go to the bathroom. We're governed by our stomachs. Bible says, God, that's your God. That's who you listen to, right? But watch this. What about the things you love? That's why I said for 31 days, we're going to fast from our greatest weakness. Because for some of us, food is not our weakness. Right? Some of us do it right, right? I mean, you know, I'm trying to get back there, but I don't do it right. So you let it be late. I'm trying to go to McDonald's. I want fresh hot fries. Right? Give me some ketchup. Talk to me. I ain't the only one at McDonald's. I see y'all trying to play me. Burger King, wherever you go. I know you go there. That's it. We're struggling because we don't want to put away the things we love. That's why I said you're going to fast from your greatest weakness. Let me come down your road so you won't have to testify about yourself. What's our greatest weakness? Well, again, I told you music, movies. I'm going to get a little deep in a minute. Watch this. Food. We like that, right? Food, dessert, sweets, right? Coffee, sugar, salt. I'm coming down your road now. Don't get mad at me. Sweet tea, fried chicken. That's a food. Watch this. Women. Woo. I'm married. Women. Come on. Men. That's not for me. Men. You need to fast from men, right? You need to fast from. Woo. I'm coming down your road. Whose row am I on? I'm on the second, third row, right? I'm talking about pornography. You need to fast from it. Turn it down. Close it out. Somebody said, well, you shouldn't be doing it anyway. Guess what? You shouldn't be drinking like you're drinking, but hello. See, you want to point out stuff that's like, woo, why they doing that? Well, why are you doing that? Why are you smoking? Why are you still smoking weed? Why are you still smoking crack? It's real today. You need to go on a fast. Real fast. See, we don't want to talk about the real stuff. Woo. Some of you need to fast from sex. I know you're married. What's up? Yep. You don't have sex out of your marriage, but guess what? If sex has become your God, you need to fast from it. If you can't get them to work without having sex, if you can't speak to your spouse without having sex, I'm in there right now. Let me have, we ain't got no kids. Listen, I used to operate. Look, I wouldn't even speak to my wife. Talk to me. Y'all don't want to be real. Straight on. Don't even nod, babe. Right? I ain't even trying to talk. I don't even want to look. Get up. You didn't kiss me. You didn't say you love me. I'm like, yes, I did. You asleep. No good way. You upset. Listen, you upset. I'm moving on, right? It's all kind of stuff that we got to fast from. Some of us need to fast from work. Take a vacation day. Some of y'all think you just work. When are you going to give God your time, right? If the church doors was open and operating for 24 hours, you would be in the church for 24 hours a day, not sleeping, not eating right. I'm giving God his time. No, you're not. What profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Listen, you could be in the church working 24/7 and still losing your soul. Ooh, paradox, Pastor, contrary to what we're taught. Think about it. When you were being raised, I know when I was being raised. Listen, I was husky, right? I was taught, eat everything on your plate. Don't you leave nothing, eat everything. So when I eat now, I eat everything. That plate, don't you leave nothing. Listen, you gonna throw that away? That plate, put it in a box. Ain't that right, Joseph Jones? Put it in a box. You know, Joseph, you know what I'm talking about. Okay, Joanna gonna get me. So, Joseph, you gonna eat that? Yes, sir. Wait, what Montika said? Montika said, you gonna throw that bread away? Come on, see, we all family. You better not throw, no, give me that bread, Pastor, give me that bread. Am I lying, Brittany? Come on, I'm putting everybody on blast. I'm just not gonna talk about the other stuff. Yes, sir. But there's all types of things that we need to fast from, right? Watch this. See, for those of you all that study real well and read the Word of God, you've been in the book of Esther, and you know how it was talking about the perfumes and the clothing and all the things that she had, and it was talking about her getting into the presence of the king. It wasn't about none of those artifacts. The Bible says that she proclaimed the fast. Said, look, I need for y'all to go and fast for me for 3 days. When they were fasting in the book of Esther, watch this. They fasted with no food or drink. 3 days. It's real tough because the body says that they tell us that you have to keep on putting liquids in your body so that you don't dehydrate. 3 days. And then, after they had fasted for her for 3 days, the Bible says that she made entryway into the presence of the king. You know why that's so great for us to discuss? Because it was against the law for her to be in the king's presence. Watch this. But when you fast and gain the knowledge of God and operate in the mindset of God, it gives you access into places that you wouldn't normally go into. You'll be walking into places without even thinking about it. Oh, I'm in the CEO's office. Why are you here? Because I just thought you was going to give me a promotion today. I don't know how I ended up here. Listen, when you're fasting, you go into places and territory that you would normally have no business to be into. You're not invited. Nobody asked you to come. You don't even have a key. But because you're fasting, it creates an access, an accessible entryway to get into places and dimensions that you've never even thought about. Try it out. So the key to Esther's advancement in the kingdom wasn't about all the artifacts. Read the story. All this stuff, put on the right clothes and smell right and the perfume and all this. No, it was a posture and it was a layout of fasting, turning out all this stuff so that God, I can get God's attention and he can come into my life and lead my life. That's why we don't fast. We don't want to be led by anybody. Okay, here we go. What is fasting? What is fasting? Somebody say it. Ask me. What is fasting, Pastor? Fasting. Fasting is willfully, watch this, willfully abstaining from natural pleasures for a spiritual purpose. Y'all see anything else? Willfully abstaining from natural pleasures for weight loss. You see that? Willfully abstaining from natural pleasures for self-gratification. So that I can be put, you can take my picture. So you can see how well I'm doing. Watch this. Even in the text, if you read the Bible, they were instructed when you fast, right, you ain't got to tell nobody. In other words, you shouldn't look like you're fasting. Get up, wash your face, watch this. Fix your hair right, cut your hair, do all those things because you know what? You need to continue to live. Now, I'm not talking about some of the times where they did in the Old Testament where they tore, they had sackcloth and threw ashes. No, no, we're not there right now. What I'm talking about is in the New Testament where it says when you fast, go out, get yourself together, right? Do your hair, put on your clothes, iron your clothes, wash your face, brush your teeth, act as if everything is fine. You know why? Because it's a time where you're going to crucify the flesh. You ain't got to tell nobody you're hungry because you're fasting. No, no, no. It's a time of spiritual growth. It's a spiritual matter for a spiritual person. It's a growth thing. You run around, got a tea. I'm fasting. Oh, just help me out. Pray for me. I'm struggling. No. That's the whole purpose. It is a struggle. You know why? It's not that you're hungry. It's all in your mind. Because you've trained your mind when to eat, what to eat, how to eat, what to eat, how to eat, when to eat. You've trained your mind. That's why the Bible says that your belly has become your God. That's amazing. I mean, look, that's amazing. I'm supposed to have a six-pack. And I got a pack. I got a pack, man, look. Like, God, I ain't never had a six-pack. I was one, two, I was packing. No six-pack. Husky. Watch this. Willfully abstaining from natural pleasures for a spiritual purpose. You write it down? It's an act of will. You have to willfully put your body under subjection. You have to willfully do it. You know why? Because there's a war going on inside of you, and it's called spirit and your body. Your body is your flesh. That's a battle going on, and your body saying, feed me. The spirit saying, no, don't eat that, but read this. Your stomach saying, eat this. The spirit saying, no, don't eat that. And right now, don't even read. I want you to meditate, because you got to go through reading and meditating day and night, right? Put it down. Turn it over. Give God some time. Watch this. Some of us are such great readers that we always read and we never hear from God. Ooh. Get in a book club. Get in a book club. Get in God's club. Sometimes you got to close the book, close your eyes, lay on your face. You know what? The problem with us when we're trying to read and we're not really there mentally, what happens? We wake up and we've got the Bible laid somewhere still in the bed on our chest, still on page 2. You know why? People say, well, reading puts me to sleep. Because you know why? You're not giving God his time. You didn't go to sleep when you was eating that number 3 combo meal at McDonald's. Did you? You didn't go to sleep when you was eating that steak, that fish, that tilapia, that salmon. You didn't go to sleep. So, look, give God his time. Stop falling asleep. And, look, govern yourselves accordingly. Where's Asher? He's in the kids' zone. Okay, I'm coming. All right, number 2, I got to go. Number 2, the reason for fasting, number 2. Number 2 is, you won't see this, write it down. You fast so that you can renounce the natural to provoke the spiritual. So that you can renouncing the natural, right? Putting that natural down. So that you can what? Provoke the spiritual. You want the spiritual to be in place and in stands, right? You don't want the natural to be ahead of the game. You want your spirit man to be there. You want to be governed by the natural? Listen, that's your flesh. If you were governed by your natural, many people wouldn't even make it to church. Because the bed feels so good, right? Let me move on. Number 3, we fast because it's dedication for a period of time to devote yourself to God. Simple, devote yourself to God. Number four, fasting is not just missing a meal. Fasting is not just missing a meal. Number 5, fasting is not dieting. It's not a diet. Although, if you fast, you won't have to diet. Fasting is a cleanser. And you don't have to take a product, a pill, powder, drink something. Watch this. If we would fast on a regular basis, and if it would become habitual in our life, then we wouldn't have to go in and take the Atkins diet and go in and have this and do that and get on this medication. No, fast, fast. In some cultures, it's not pills, it's fasting. It's a cleanser. I heard one person say that your tongue is connected to your rectum. Right? Where my nurse is at? Correct? And your rectum is connected to your tongue. And in between, there's a stomach and intestines. Watch this. And so when you're fasting, watch this, and you turn down that plate, your stomach intestines create what they call acids. Is that correct? Gastric, I say it right? Acids. Right? In your stomach, around the lining. What happens when I don't eat? Listen, my brain tells my stomach to eat. Nothing going in. What's going to happen, Pastor? Those acids are going to continue to work, nothing going in. And what's going to happen is it's going to begin to melt the fat down, right? That's why when you're going to fast, your stomach decreases because you stop putting junk in your life. And so therefore, you can be made whole holistically. It's about the mind too. And so what happens is I'm not eating, I'm fasting. Those gastric acids create what they call gas. Right? In the medical world, what's gas called? Who? Flatus. Flatus. So you begin, I heard a preacher say, you begin to flatuating. Right? Gas begins to come out, right? Those gastric acids, it's the acidity. That's why they say when you're fasting, you got to cut out your orange juice. Orange juice, come on. Cut out all those acidic drinks. Grapefruit juice, right? Cut those acids out because you're going to overdo it. Your stomach already has acids in it. Going in, coming out. Reduction, decrease so he can increase. What happened? What am I doing? I'm crucifying the flesh. My flesh is no longer in order of my life. For long, your brain won't be sending those signals to eat. It's a fact that studies show that you can go 40 days without anything to eat. 40 days. That's why you see a lot of times referenced in the Bible, 40 days, 40 nights. 40 days, 40 nights, right? Jesus fasted and he prayed. Old Testament, they fasted, they prayed. 40 days, 40 nights. Esther, 3 days, 3 nights, right? Listen, you actually can go. What happens? They say in about 20-something days that your body now begins to change over. And it begins to eat at itself. That's when weight loss happens. Listen, last year around this time, thank you, praise God. Praise God. Last year around this time, I was in the hospital. Was it not? Was it around this time? I was in the hospital around this time. And listen, they put me in there, and I was in there for 11 days. 11 days. Great staff, Elder Bass, great preaching, right? I was just furious. It was a good Friday night, right? Had a service, and Sunday had service. It was Easter. I'm like, man, I want to be preaching. Doc said, you ain't going to be preaching, Doc. You're going to be right here. And we're going to be feeding you. And we're going to put everything in place for you. It initially started out as the worst time of my life. It ended up in a whole time of 11 days as the best days of my life. Why? Because I began to discover and learn things that I had never discovered or learned. Right? I saw parts of my wife come out that I had never seen before. I saw my body transform that I had never seen before. Doc, we're waiting on you to have some movement. We need to see some movement. I said, there's not going to be any movement because you're not putting anything to create movement. 11 days, got out. Oh, you look good. Oh, man, you look great, Pastor. You look great. Some people say, you okay? Are you sick? I said, no, I'm great. Pastor, wow. Lost so much. You look so great. But they don't want to go through what I went through to get to this place. I said, you know what? You clapping for me, right? I said, look here. I didn't want to be in that state. I wanted to eat. Say, man, you can't eat nothing, right? We're going to purify you. We're going to cleanse your body. And so when you're fasting, you're going through a spiritual cleanser also, not just a natural. A diet is a natural, but when you're fasting, it's spiritual. Because not only do I gain access in my body, right? If you go on a fast, it lowers your blood pressure. All these diseases. You know where cancer comes from? Cancer comes from food that's caked up in the colon. Time and time again, eating bad food year after year, year after year, eating those bad foods. So when we do this good thing, we're going to die. Guess what? The diet food comes right through and surpass all the bad food. And all the bad food's still stuck. But when you're going to fast, those gastric acids eats away at that food that's been stuck in your system for 2, 3, 4, 5 days. Years, I'm sorry. Years. Years. I'm telling you, read up on this stuff. Fasting, fasting. Not for weight loss. It's just a benefit. Watch this. Fasting demands the reading of the word and spending time with God. And number 7, where'd D go? Go ahead and bring that to me, D. And number 7, fasting requires a time of meditation. A time of meditation. I want to share this with you because my son, bless me, he don't even know it. My wife and I took him yesterday to get his eyeglasses. Our 3-year-old son has to get glasses. He has glasses. And he has one of his eyes play tricks on you every now and then and move over here. I'm like, well, where you going? You all right? It's good? Right? We was like, me and the wife, we were looking at each other like, what's going on? So when they have him checked out, right? So he's going to need glasses. So they brought the glasses out. I said, man, them things mighty thick. He need all that medication? I mean, like, we can see Mars in that thing. Like, what in the world? Watch this. The reason why I'm telling you this is a parallel to our lives, our spiritual lives. God showed me something. And he put them glasses on, and he was looking around like he never had sight. He was taking them off, putting them on, taking them off, putting them on. He was amazed at his vision. God was dealing with me. He says, that's how you all are. You've lived so long without vision that you thought that there was all there is to be. He says, now I put a little focus in your life, and I want you to refocus and fast and get my attention. Now you can see. What does that mean? That means that fasting opens up your senses. Paul was one who would be fasting on a regular, and the Bible teaches that Paul was fasting to such that he could identify demons when they were present. Bible says as they were going on their journey, little girl, little damsel said, was talking to him, you're the son of God, singing praises, right? She's probably in church clapping, son of God, man of God, preach on, go do your work. Paul turns and says, shut up, read the text. You're full of demons and come out of her. Just because they're screaming Jesus don't mean they're for Jesus. But how do we know? Because spiritual sensitivity is activated when you fast. Bring me the mic stand. I'm done right here. This is my 5th closing. I'm really done. This is my 5th closing. I want to do this. Praising God and in worship is one thing. But we do this without really knowing what we need in our life to activate his presence, his power, and his authority. Make no mistake about it, we operate in this, as we would say, the charismatic church. Name it and claim it. But we've removed the very things that we need in order to obtain what he has for us. You've seen this a few times, but I want to do it again because it means something to us in the body of Christ. This here represents the conduit. We are the conduit. We're the conduit that makes the kingdom flow here on earth. Miracles and signs and wonders flows through us because we're kingdom. The problem that we're having is we come and we come to church and we get full here and we try to get this so-called anointing. And when we come to release it in the church and out of the church, right, there's only a little bit coming out. God, why don't you hear my prayer? Where's the overflow? God says you got too much living inside of what I created. Say, God, what's inside of me? Because now you're having a conversation with the creator called God. Now you're in tune. God says, man, you got chains that I've broken a long time ago. I need you to go on this spiritual cleansing and get all that stuff out of you. Past relationships, family issues. He said, yeah, you removed the chains, but you got some other stuff in here that won't allow me to flow like I need to flow. And you know, when there's a real good cleanser, you see some dark matter come out. And the truth be told, all of us got some darkness inside of us. You may have not put it in there. It could be generational. And you got to break down these walls that's living inside of you. God says, I'm going to get the dark places out of your life. I want to get the dark people out of your life. I want to get the dark past out of your life. Stop living in that stuff. Get it out. Get it out. Get it out. You've been to prison, but you still have a prison mentality. You're divorced, but you're still married to that joker because that's all you think about. He says, and when I've cleansed you, when you have crucified the flesh, called it to subjection, it is now that ministry can operate out of you that flows through you. He says, now, when you come in to seek my face, you come in to seek my face and you want healing power. He says, now I can flow through you. He says, you can give it out. Miracles, signs, and wonders. Miracles, signs, and wonders. Somebody say it with me. Miracles, signs, and wonders. Now your ministry can overflow. Now you can have an outpouring of my spirit in your life. Now your relationship will be good
Now you don't have to pay anybody to do these things for you. I created you to be a ministry. I created you to be a sanctuary. I created you to do miracles, signs, and wonders. We're trying to fight this battle with things that Satan is already privy of. Watch this. You're trying to fight demons and you're pleading the blood. Satan been living with the blood. Watch this. You got to do more than just speak it. When Jesus was on the mountaintop, Satan said, look, I'll turn these stones into bread. Why did he want to turn stones into bread? Because he knew Jesus was fasting. I'll give you everything. Just take this bread. Why did he offer Jesus bread? Because bread feeds the flesh. I like Jesus because Jesus says, I am the bread. I am the water. You drink from this mountain, girl, you'll never thirst again. You eat this bread, you'll never hunger. It's not about the flesh, but it's about the spirit. I'm telling the church today that if we would get in a place and in a posture, that your marriage will be better, your singleness will be better, your finances will be better, your kids will be better, your church praise dance will be better. Everything in your life will change. Will change. But God has to break you from some of your bad habits. And you need to be, we need to be thankful enough that God still sees fit. It's called his grace. That even when we let him down, that he still comes in our space and let us experience him for change. This ultimate religious proper ways of doing things. Let me get, I understand order. I understand order. But in the New Testament, when it's talking about order, in the book of Corinthians, it's actually not talking about the order that we create. It's talking about the order that he creates. It's operating in the spirit of God. Listen. Listen. Get out the mindset of just coming to church out of routine and habit, leaving, coming again. Get out of that mindset. Number one, you come to exalt him and lift him up above all. That's number one. It's about him. Number two, I need God to change my life. If that's not you, number three, I'm coming so that my sister and my brother's life can be changed. I want to be a part of it because he may use me to change you. Yeah. Yeah. He may use you to change me. Listen, God is not a respecter of persons. That's why we read in Joel, 2nd chapter and 15, he called everybody to order. The priests, the nursing mothers. Read the text, we read it. Everybody that was working, playing the minstrels, everybody he called to order. He says everybody's going to go on a fast. Because I need everybody to seek my face. And when we all are seeking God, laying on our face, turning down some things that we love, especially our weaknesses, guess what? When we all come together, what a mighty time we could have. In my closing, the church of old, yeah, the millennials, we scrutinize and do all these things and they do it to us and so on. Watch this. But baby, when they came together, They didn't have no perfect life, but they were obedient. And when the church went on a fast, the church went on a fast. Church was in prayer, church was in prayer. We struggle because we want to individualize and say, I'm not doing that mess. It's the assembly, right? It's not just for yourself. It's for the body. It's for the body. Give God praise. Before we give, we're going to pray. Yeah, service went a little lengthy today. It's okay. It's okay. You got to change your agenda. If you went to sleep, you need to get rest. Yeah. Every head bowed, every eye is closed. Lord, continue to teach us. Show us so that you can use us for your glory. Take my situation, our situation, turn it around, redesign, change it, mold us, feed us, give us everything that we need so that we can be on one accord in our households, in our prospective ministries, in the house of God, in my own personal life, in my own relationships, family, friends, enemies. God, show us. While we're fasting, while we're praying, as we open up into this new arena of sensitivity, let us identify things, people, places that shouldn't be in our life, that shouldn't be in my house, that shouldn't be in my car, that shouldn't be in my cubicle, that shouldn't be in my presence, because I don't want it in your presence. To everybody here and those that are watching and streaming, it's a great time. It's a great time for you to turn down the things that you love. Just give God a chance. And I promise and guarantee that he will change your life. God, we're going to always give you praise, regardless of our shortcomings. Lift you up in all things. In Jesus' name, let the entire body say amen. Put your hands together. Come on, hug somebody. Hug your spouse. Hug your neighbor. Come on, move. You don't have to know them to hug them.